Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Where's Lance's camera? Where is he, Dell?
Where is he? Where's Lance's camera?
Where's Lance's camera?
Where's my camera?
Okay, if you say something that's incredible and you don't, and we don't have the video of it,
everyone can tell on me and go put it on social media, try to make it go viral and make people say I'm Cap all the time?
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Is that what you want? These snitches kind of, coming in here and trying to capture our stuff and then put it viral so people say, that's Cap. Shut up.
What does that mean, that's Cap?
Tell him what it means, Dell. That's Cap mean it's a lie. That's fake. That's a lie.
Oh, Cat?
Or... Cap. Cap.
Oh, Cap. Oh, that's Cap. That's Cap. Okay, I didn't know what that meant. I do know this. You caught... Now, see? Bravo says Lance is Cap. Yeah, Lance is Cap. Lance, you caught a lot of business over your comments about Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud. You just wanted hits. That you just wanted clicks, right?
Yeah. There's nothing better than clicks. I do a mock draft that the NFL retweets. That's, you don't get more people telling you how dumb you are than, because first of all, the NFL retweets it. So an NFL draft account tweets it. Those are people who follow the draft. It's more sensible. NFL account with whatever, 20 million people or whatever, once they tweet out, Lance Zierlein has his first mock draft. Oh, I am the dumbest. This is when I really get dumb. When people tell me what a sack of turds I am.
Right.
I don't know anything. This guy has no credibility. This cap. See? In the chat. See? Cap. See? Cap. So when you see that means that's a lie.
Right. Okay. That's a cap. I got you. That's a cap.
That's cap. Not a cap. Just cap.
Yeah.
That's cap.
So not cat, like city cats, what Raheel works for.
No, right. Not that.
No, like, not that.
Like cap.
Cap. I got you. Okay. So,
I did,
you tired
I did
today?
Catch a little bit.
Dell's sleeping already during the show. Dell's already sleeping.
How about wake up, Dell?
What did you, were you out late Dell drinking
last
night? Dell
doesn't like when we put him on cultural game.
No, this is such an inane conversation that I can't believe it's still happening.
Well, no Rockets basketball last night. They played tonight against Memphis, who is chasing them in the West. So big game, another big game tonight for our team. But we did have some action. Dylan Brooks got fined 25 large for dropping an MF-er on the broadcast.
That's cat.
I told you that he had said that, right? After I was watching the run, he goes, I knew that MF-er was going in. And after Amon hit the game winner, and the league fines him. How many guys swear on broadcasts, and he gets fined?
They all get fined. Yes, they get fined. So this has been a big trend lately. Like, it's the T-Wolves. Who does? I think it's Anthony Edwards that always does this. His new thing is this. He's going to just drop cuss words. Like, that is kind of – it's kind of BS. I mean, you know that there are kids watching. You know that they're – you don't have to – you can get – you can convey whatever. It's not a heat of the moment. I think these are – if you want me to be honest, I know when Anthony Edwards does it, he knows what he's doing. He's got plenty of time to do it. He's done it more than once. He doesn't care. He's got all the money in the world, and so he's going to, you know – he gets off.
Seems like a waste of 25 large to me.
Yeah, what's the purpose? Like, you know there's kids watching. Just don't do it. And Dylan Brooks, just don't do it. But you think Dylan really cares about the kids? Dylan just says FTK. Dylan Brooks is not a guy that he actually probably does good charity stuff, you know, because a lot of times the roughest guys are pretty charitable in that. But he also strikes me as an FTK guy also, where he just says, F those kids.
Yeah. And he did the other night. And we got us a game. And I got some sound that I want to play here in the first. Dyson Daniels. I saw Dyson Daniels the other night. Maybe the first time ever in my life I knew what a Dyson Daniels was. But Dyson Daniels, he's got some nice defensive game. He can play a little bit. And Dyson Daniels was kind of a pain in the ass the other night. But the Rockets have developed a Quinn Snyder, their head coach, after the game. He said, man, that's a physical team now. That is a physical team, the Rockets. Mm-hmm. And Dyson Daniels asked about the Rockets, and here's what Dyson Daniels had to say.
Yeah, you know, I think they're probably the most physical team in the league, to be honest. And, you know, for us to come in and, you know, match their physicality and give ourselves a chance to, you know, win that game, you know, it was right there for us. We played well enough to win. And, you know, we're just going to have to continue to do that. You know, we have to be the aggressor. You know, whoever we play against, and we have to have that same mentality every game.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Better bring your big boy pants when you're playing the Rockets, okay?
Yeah, you know what's interesting? So, a lot of times physicality is not really used that much when you talk about basketball. Well, people who, you know, I think people who just from the outside looking in, you know when you play somebody physical in basketball because you get forearms in the chest. They are up against you and grabbing you and holding you, and the box outs are stronger and the fouls are harder. And people may think it's aggressive, but you know what I've noticed, John? This is like the fourth time I've heard the other day in the Atlanta game, whoever the color commentator was at the very beginning of the game, you may have seen this audio clip. I think Dreamshake had it and sent it to us. Whoever the color commentator was after the tip says this is going to be they better be ready today because this is a physical team. I've heard the phrase physical team with the Rockets like I don't know at least four or five times this year from opposing people, and that is an Ime Udoka joint right there. He just means like you said, put your big boy pants on because everything that you do is going to be contested, and it's going to be contested with a great deal of aggression and physicality.
Yeah. I mean, every guy on the floor is physical. You know, I mean, Amen is inside, and Alpi and Adams, and, I mean, it doesn't matter who they put on the floor. That's fun. That's good. That's the kind of ball. And the Cougs won again last night against West Virginia, and that's the kind of ball that they play. We're watching some really, really, really good, maybe two of the most physical teams in their respective sports. I don't even think it's maybe. Houston's got to be the most physical team in college basketball, and the Cougs. You hear Dyson saying that the Rockets are the most physical in the NBA. So that's fun. We're watching some good basketball. So apparently the Texans are going to interview Bill Lazor. What do we know about Bill Lazor?
Bill Lazor is considered a good offensive coach. You know, he coached under Chip Kelly back in the day. He was kind of a hot name for a while coming out of the Chip Kelly school of of offensive coordinating. Then it went. I'm trying to remember he had a stint where it didn't go so well. But you know, every coach is going to have that at some point. That's just the nature of the business. But Bill Lazor is pretty well respected. Wow, he's 52 now. I remember when he was one of the hot young names when he was in his 30s, but, you know, he's coached for a while. I'm trying to see where, let's see, Cornell, Washington, Seattle in 2008. So he was there as the quarterback's coach in 2013 with Chip. And Dell had him as an offense coordinator in 2014, 2015. Probably doesn't like him, and you know he's with the team, so he's been there. He knows the team. There's the continuity. That would be the difference. He's an offensive assistant right now at the Texans. So Gerard Johnson, is the quarterback coach. Bill Lazor's an offensive assistant. If you want to keep it in-house, Lazor's the one who has been a play caller multiple times. Bengals, Miami Dolphins. He was with at Virginia in college. Like, he's got a lot of experience calling plays. Chicago Bears from 20 to 21. Now, he hasn't been a longtime offensive coordinator for a lot of those stops. They typically don't last more than 1 to 2 years, so you can take from that what you want, but he has experience doing that. So, I don't know.
I almost think after getting a guy with no experience, you know, that's what you always – if you get a defensive head coach, you go get an offensive the next time, whatever. I almost think like the Texans are going to feel like they need to have experience.
An experienced guy. Yeah, I think you're right. I just don't – I know that there's – that Gerard Johnson – I know Aaron Glenn had looked at Gerard Johnson for the Saints job if he went to the Saints. I can't remember if AG's got an offensive coordinator over there now. I assume he does over with the Jets. But I know Gerard Johnson's one of the guys who was in the mix over there. He's a guy who's going to eventually, I think, become an offense coordinator. But I'm with you, John. You just got done with a guy who has 2 years as a coordinator, a head coach with 2 years, and a quarterback with 2 years. You didn't have a whole lot of experience in that trio there, and maybe the Texans will want somebody who maybe can better adjust to certain looks or whatever in terms of a game plan to start a game. Maybe the game planning will be less predictable. You know, the Gary Kubiak version of the offense was predictable, but it was about execution and you had to stop it. So it was a Mike Shanahan. The Kyle Shanahan version, Kyle changed it up. Kyle changed the game. But just because you came from Kyle Shanahan, that doesn't mean you think like Kyle Shanahan. It doesn't mean you think like Sean McVay. You're not automatically the same coordinator those guys are. No. So I think that's one of the problems D'Amico and probably CJ to a lesser extent had was that you know, maybe it was too execution oriented instead of, hey, be a little less predictable and put defenses on their heels instead of us being on our heels all the time.
You know, there's an art to play calling. I know Bobby Slowick, he called all the bad plays. He didn't really get
He did for some reason plays. He kept installing bad plays.
Bad plays. Bad plays.
Well, but there that is I a... mean we're joking a little bit, but you're right, there is an art to a rhythm.
There is.
You know, to getting into a rhythm, to use one play call, you know, the really good ones will show you a certain personnel grouping because they'll show you a play, and they just run this 3-yard play because they're setting something else up. They may run it twice, and then they're setting something else up for down the road. You know, and that's part of it. It is a chess match, you know.
I was just watching Julian Edelman on a podcast, and boy, did he slam Mike Tomlin. He said, man, the Steelers haven't changed nothing. He said, they had a linebacker on me in the slot every single game. I'd have 9 catches against the Steelers, and they still do the same stuff. Change it up. Do something different. But that's what we do. This is what we do. And you want to talk about an indictment on Tomlin, is that he won't change, you know, to give different looks. Brady, you do the same thing against Brady every time. He's going to destroy you.
Well, and and you're right. And you know, I like Mike Tomlin. We all like the fact, you know, it's hard not to respect the fact that he always has winning seasons. Pittsburgh are pretty much done with him for the most part. It's been a long run. He's had success. They just want to move on and get something else. But some of it is because of, you know, it is the same thing over and over and over. And there haven't been a lot of changes from, I mean, the style, the scheme is, there's differences. But going from Dom Capers to Dick LeBeau, really it was kind of Dick LeBeau to Dom Capers to Dick LeBeau to Mike Tomlin. And Cowher was in there, obviously. But Cowher was there when Dick LeBeau was there. You know, those architects, it's kind of this, there's a lot of similarities. There's not a lot of changes. And you're right. If you keep doing the same thing, man, it makes it easy for teams to mismatch you because you're predictable. They know what you're going to do, you know?
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776. Basically a holiday show. No Rockets game last night. It's basically a holiday show.
Say
whatever we want. Oh, yeah, it's a holiday right now. And so if you want to get in, 713-780-3776, the number to call us here. John Chill will join us a little bit later in the show from the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. I want to find out what – have you played – well, we'll do it on the other side. I want a slot tournament. Have you played in a slot tournament?
No, but I've seen them. Have you ever seen them?
No, we'll talk about it.
All these people, it's all old people, and all they do is They bang on the spin button nonstop so you get as many potential spins in as possible. That's all it is.
That's a tournament. Okay.
There is no
Lance, don't do that. The people will have that video.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Tell, can you capture that? Thanks. I need to talk about right now Gulf Coast Windows, my guy Jim Fiume. I got to talk about what is going on over there at Gulf Coast Windows. Gulf Coast Windows is where you're going to get your window on. It's where you're going to get your door on. It's where you're going to find the best doors and windows in the market. I mean, I don't – it's crazy. It's actually not crazy. The dude has been doing this forever, going on 40 years now. And he's always been about quality. He's always been about durability. He's always been about a great product. He's always been about the best installation you can get. And that's kind of a big deal, people. If it's not put in perfect, guess what? That window is going to leak, and you got the same problem that you had before. Or you're going to have noise. You're going to have imperfections. You're going to have security problems, all these things. So they have to be installed perfectly. Is your company going to install it perfectly? Because that's what Gulf Coast Windows does. They stand behind every single window and door that they put in, and they are going to make sure that you have the best window and door buying experience. All right, 713-849-5454 or GulfCoastWindows.com. You're looking for the best window, period, exclamation point, is Gulf Coast Windows.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hey, right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, you want to do that again where you were hitting the button over and over and over again? Do that?
No. Okay. Nope.
So that is a slot tournament which is coming up at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. I think it's February 1st. Or go to the website, goldennuggetlc.com, and compete in the slot. You like slots, though. You play slots. I just can't. I get too bored. It's just the same thing over and over.
Well, you don't have ADD, because there's nothing better than do-do-do-do, lights, sound. It's a constant engagement.
You love
great.
That. Okay.
Yeah. So, you're all your senses get engaged, and it's just like, oh, and then that one game where there's little babies, those little Asian babies, that go, and all of a sudden the dragon goes through, and that means you're about to win. It's just random, too, and then you'll win, and you say, oh, those little babies are here. Great. Just little things like that.
And then the dragon comes through.
And then the dragon comes through.
It eats all
but
the
that was the game that you could win on, and I noticed they took it out.
Yeah, yeah. Man, thoughts and prayers going out to Washington, D.C., the plane and helicopter that collided. It's just, oh, my goodness, what a horrible, horrible story. It looked like that helicopter just ran right into the plane, and it's just,
yeah.
There are all kinds of, somebody sent out a video in Washington, D.C., there are all kinds of helicopters that take off right next to the planes all the time. They're military helicopters, and they're constantly taking off. And I don't know, those two collided last night, and man, what a horrible,
64
horrible.
People dead, no survivors.
Man, it the explosion when the two hit was incredible. That's just awful. I'm on a lot of planes lately, and that kind of crap gets me. I hate that. Hate that. So thoughts and prayers going out to those people. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros, congratulations. They received an awful grade for their offseason moves. Okay. Bleacher Report says the Astros get a D for this offseason. What do they get if Bregman signs? You've got Christian Walker, you brought Isaac Paredes that you brought in. You made a trade for Cam Smith. You lose Kyle Tucker. I don't know that you've traded away Ryan Presley, which might be a positive. I hate to say it, but right now it might be a positive for the team. And then you brought back Alex Bregman. I think that grade moves up to about a B-minus if you're telling because you fixed a problem. While you created a problem in right field, you fixed a big problem at first base.
Well, so Yeah, I think maybe – I wonder if some of those grades were them assessing what the contract was and value of contract and all that stuff. Because, you know, you added players, like you said. You asked Kyle Tucker, if you just look at it as a plus-minus, you lost one starter and gained two starters. You know, well, you lost two starters, actually, if we assume Bregman's gone. If Bregman comes back, obviously that grade changes. But it's also probably if Bregman comes back, it's a one-year deal. Maybe two, but the longer you put together, I mean, if you're going to do two, you might as well try to get six out of the Astros. And I don't think they have the money to do a six-year deal relative to Bregman's value. So I think the only offer can be a short-term offer so that they can go back to the market next year. And so, you know, it's kind of a whatever. That's fine. This is uncharted territory for the Astros. Dana Brown is having to you know, and this is now multiple years where he's having to just kind of figure it out on the go because they lose core players and they have to try to make it work with core players and now with all these injuries. So it's how to transition from being the hunter, the hunted into the hunter is going to take some time because it's, you know, you're just slowly withering away from what you were. But that doesn't mean you have to tank. I mean, and Jim Crane does not want to tank. That's not happening. He already did that. He's not doing it again.
He said we're always going to compete, and I believe him. And they're right at the top of the – I mean, I saw some real criticism – I mean, some ugly criticism of Dana Brown on the interwebs. But then I've seen the defense of him as well. I think he's in a terrible, terrible situation to take over after this run or to try to keep the run alive. It's almost harder – to keep this alive with the way the payroll is what it's turned the payroll into. When you have this much success, you got a bunch of guys that are going to start to make money. You know, Jeff Luhnow did a hell of a job putting together a roster that won, but he didn't have salary cap restraints. Now you've got all of these restraints that are strangling the organization and making you make tough decisions. Back then, you know, the tough decision was who do we sign, not how do we pay him. And so I think Dana Brown is in a really, really difficult situation here, and his hands are tied. I mean, does he want to give up Kyle Tucker? No, of course he doesn't want to give up Kyle Tucker. But you got to make the best. And then he goes out and signs a couple of guys that and helps out the screw ups of what they did before he got there with Abreu and Montero. And he's got to make up for that. And I think he's still keeping them competitive. I think Dana Brown is doing a nice job, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think he's just doing a job.
It ain't an easy job.
It may be an impossible job. Yeah. It may be one where we can't measure it in terms of the previous measurements of success because Dana Brown doesn't have the same the same players that James Click and Jeff Luhnow had. But his job is also to draft players that end up becoming, you know, the next wave for the Astros. So we don't know yet how that's going to work out.
Yep. So we'll find – I just think the Bregman thing, I just think it's all a bunch of – we haven't heard really the Astros side. There was a lot of hemming and hawing from Dana about, well, we got internal discussions. We haven't – I owe Boris a call. Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. Remind me about that. Hey, Joan, remind me to call Scott Boras sometime.
I know.
Remind me.
Hey, Siri, send message to call Scott Boras at 1:30 p.m.
I don't think he was being that specific. No. At some time, remind me. I got to give Scott Boras a call. Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that the Astros are nearly as interested as the Bregman side is, as the Boras side is, to get a big deal done for Alex Bregman. It's just this. It's right. So funny. It just, I think, you know, baseball might be just waking up a little bit. Yeah, that said, you know, just signed a $765 million deal, Soto. So, yeah, baseball's getting a lot smarter. 713-780-3776, the number if you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Let's talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com right now. Let's talk about my man John Clay Wolf. Let's talk about him coming on Saturday. Let's talk about him buying vehicles from you on the phone. on the phone. I mean, that's crazy. This dude, you pick up the phone, you call him, and I'm sure he's got minions in the back that say, okay, this guy wants to talk about a 1969 Corvette, and we've got to find out, is it mint and all this, and it's going to be worth this and whatnot. You know what? You know, but John Clay Wolf, you think he doesn't know the business? This dude has got billions on the line. He knows what he's talking about. He can tell you. It's rather amazing. You could tell him a car, and he'll say, okay, how many miles and what kind of condition is it in, and he can give you a number. And it's incredible. Now, he's not answering your when you go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, but he's got a bunch of people that are, and they're going to give you the most for your car. His mantra is, give the most that we possibly can for this vehicle. Let's buy that car, okay? So when you're selling your car, there's one place that you have to go every single time, GiveMeTheVIN.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. Welcome back. I was just hearing Jeremy. You know, Joel and Jeremy were ripping you for your story about CJ and Bobby Slowick, just so you know.
And I saw that snitch try to send a message. Hey, guys, yeah. You know the Killer Bees? I said, are you snitching?
Yeah, he's snitching.
Yeah,
I mean, I just
want
you
got
to
a whole
know.
Lot of snitches at this station, a whole lot of snitch-ass listeners.
Well, I just want you to know that was the conversation. I don't like snitching.
I'm
but,
fine
okay.
with it.
Who are your top snitches at the station, Lance?
Yeah.
Well, John is a snitch. We know that. You and I have gone through that, Dell. He
That's
says
true.
He's not, but he tells quicker than anybody.
Are you kidding? I would go to prison.
Not a
to
chance.
Not snitch on YouTube.
Not a chance. You'd roll over so quick.
No, I'm like the beginning of Once Upon a Time in America, or no, a Boy's Tale, a Bronx Tale. Yeah, a Bronx
Tale.
That's
you'd
me.
Roll over for a slice of pizza. Just slap a slice of pizza in front of you.
What yeah. kind of pizza?
I don't. That's the point. It doesn't
no,
matter. It
tavern
does
matter. Style.
It doesn't
tavern
really
style.
Matter as long as it's not yeah. deep
tavern
dish.
Style.
You roll over.
John, it needs to be tavern.
No, as
style.
Long as it's not deep dish, that he'll no. roll over. That's how easy.
He likes.
No.
There's a specific.
There's a lot
kind
of bad pizza,
pizza
out there, Dell.
You would. The point isn't about the pizzas. The point is you ain't a stand up guy.
Yeah.
You would roll over.
Yeah, no, I'm a stand-up guy.
Not a stand-up
depends
guy.
Depends on the pizza. It depends on
That's the problem. It should not depend on the pizza if you're a stand-up guy. The answer stand-up. Is never.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'll snitch. Who else is a snitch? Abigail, she probably a snitch.
I don't know that. Do we yeah. know that?
We don't know.
I don't think so. I think Sam would take the pinch.
You think?
Yeah, I don't think
she's
Sam
loyal.
Would
no, I don't think so.
I think Sam would take the pinch.
There's
yeah.
not a chance. She's one that would say you deserve what's going to happen to you.
Oh yeah, you're right. What am I talking about? That's completely yeah. She would be super judgy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she'd be like, oh, you did the crime, do the time,
officer.
Yeah.
Officer over here.
Yeah.
She'd go get the.
I'm
officer.
A witness to whatever this person did.
If you need me, here's my number, and you can also. Send a message to my Insta. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking, you know what? Maybe Abigail's the one who would stand alone. Abigail wouldn't give you right up. She would like,
no.
And then eventually she would roll over, but, and like, oh, okay, I got to tell you. But I think at first she'd try to stand strong. I know who I can trust is, oh my God, our intern. I just forgot his name.
Joe Alan. George.
That's not our intern. Alan. Oh. Joe is not an intern.
Alan doesn't snitch.
I thought he meant Joe George. I thought he was
no.
talking about Joe.
I can trust. I know I can trust Alan.
Alan's gone, isn't he?
Yeah, but that's all right. He's not going to say anything.
Okay. No, Alan doesn't talk much. That's why.
You know who he else just, we can trust? Melissa. We can trust Melissa from the Power 105. She's not snitching
oh, yeah.
on anything.
Oh, no. She's from Columbia. She ain't snitching.
Yeah.
No
snitch.
No.
Didn't hear anything.
I don't know nothing. No, nothing. Yo, no sabo. No sabo.
Yo no sabo nada.
Who's on the line, Dell? We got a couple of callers. Who's first? Spencer? Let's get him in here. Hey, Spencer.
Hey, guys. First and foremost, I want to tip my hat to one of your sponsors. We had a squirrel issue in our attic, and McGrath Pest Control came out, did what they do at a reasonable price. So, you know.
That's nice.
Don't like squirrels in your attic, call McGrath Pest Control. So there you go.
How about that? Very nice. We appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks for calling them.
No worries. And so I was calling it Dana Brown. You know, obviously the 2022 offseason was a dumpster fire with Click gone and then their Brayu and Montero contracts. I wasn't a huge fan of last offseason. I still don't like the Hader contract with the amount per year or the 5 years. I just didn't like it. But I think Dana Brown's having a heck of an offseason. You know, if you're not going to extend Tucker and that decision is made, that's fine. It looks like you got a pretty darn good haul for him. You know, if you're going to trade a really good player, you get back a guy who can play all over the infield, including third base, and he's under control for like 4 years. You get a relief pitcher who's under control for 3 or 4 years, and you get a guy who is now your number one prospect in the entire system. That's a pretty good haul. And so, you know, the Astros are going to, like all teams, they're going to win or they're going to lose based on their starting rotation. And if Framber and Hunter Brown pitch like they should be able to pitch, and Blanco and Arrigetti are not, you know, one-hit wonders, this team has a really good offense. It's a good enough offense. We could easily run away with the division because the Rangers have a lot of holes, a lot of injuries. And then after that, the Mariners are going to do the Mariners stuff. And then after that, no one's really going to do anything. So I'm fine with what Dana Brown's doing. I think he's doing a really good job. And, you know, it's moves like the Tucker move, bringing people in, signing Christian Walker to a reasonable contract. That's what helps you win. You know, Click made one of the greatest, most quite untalked about trade in the history of the team. He traded Miles Straw for Yiner Diaz and Phil Maton. And I don't even think Straw's still in baseball. And so, you know, if Paredes can hit, if Kemp Smith turns out to be a stud, no one's going to remember Cal Tucker. So, anyway, That's all I got. Thanks.
That was a great – well, it was Miles
Nobody's
Straw.
Nobody's going to remember Kyle Tucker.
You were trading away Kyle Tucker. You were trading away Miles Straw.
I don't know about nobody's going to remember Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
That's kind of
but right. That's a different deal. But you're right. He did. He killed it with that. That trade was just a murder. I mean, the Indians, you are so stupid.
The Miles Straw. And you know what? You were right. I went and researched that Kyle Tucker. Al Avila, who was with the Tigers at the time, I think he was an assistant GM or something like that. He fought hard for Kyle Tucker in 2017. For the Justin Verlander trade, but apparently in this article I was reading from Detroit, it's from 2019. Excuse me, the Astros wouldn't budge. Like it wasn't even the Astros wouldn't even entertain the conversation. If it was going to involve Kyle Tucker, then Verlander would never have come. They wouldn't have brought him over.
Yeah, no. He was untouchable. He and Forrest. It was
Jeff Leno. One of his greatest successes was not rolling over when Tucker got off to a slow start. And still making him untouchable. That was because there was a time where Kyle Tucker looked overwhelmed by major league pitching. And he was, remember, he was kind of skinny and he didn't look the part. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh yeah, this guy is really good.
Well, and the thought was he was brash when he came up and mm-hmm. he wasn't the hardest worker and he really struggled to at the beginning. And the guys, you know, were all, like, giving him the side eye his first year. And then the offseason came, and he worked a lot harder. I think he thought it was all going to come really, really easy, and it didn't. And then he worked his ass off, and he became the hitter that he was. But his first foray into Major League Baseball was not a good one. That was not a good one. And the guys in the locker room were not impressed by him. And he changed all that. He changed all that, which is a credit to him. But he's got a load of talent. He'll be just fine. And it's interesting. Hayden Wesneski, you got him in the trade. And while he's a relief pitcher, they're talking about starting him. And I think he's going to go into spring training trying to start for this team. That's probably the most worrisome is the injury still to Garcia and McCullers and Javier and – you know, your rotation isn't there yet. I mean, we'll find out. They certainly would have been nice. I saw it. There was an article. Here, the headline is, former Astros star pitcher signs with National League team. Do you know who that might be?
Mm-mm.
That former Astros star pitcher?
Well, these headlines are so dumb now. These new media headlines, is just whatever they can do to try to click you, to try to bait you.
It got me to click?
Yeah, former Astros star pitcher. Would it be I don't know. Who would it be?
Wade Miley. Former Astros star pitcher Wade Miley signs with the Reds. So that's a
We got to start. Listen. If Trump wants to start cleaning stuff up, start with new media headline writers.
Wow.
The biggest problem facing us. Yeah, the price of groceries is bad, but these clickbait headlines might be worse. They're wasting our time.
It got me
with these stupid. I know it did.
They ball sacked me.
He pitched here 1 year, and he wasn't a star. He was all right.
He was pretty good that year. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was all right. Was he a star?
Wade Miley's a star now? What?
And you notice how they used Astro? They didn't use any of his other teams. I mean, the guy came up with Arizona, pitched in Arizona for 4 years. Then he bounced around. He was with Baltimore. Then he came from Milwaukee to Houston for 1 year. He was at Cincinnati. Wade Miley has been with Milwaukee twice. I mean, this dude's been with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's been with 8 teams, and they picked the one Astro year out.
Let's not forget whose computer it was on. I click on everything Houston, so they know that. So they aim the headline to me.
So I know. So if you told, so whoever wrote that headline, if they were punished with a $5,000 fine, or they get tased just for 1 second, it didn't last long. Do you think they'd stop having these headlines? I do.
Did you get tased? I don't think
or take a fine. We kind of stopped these dumbass headlines.
I don't
told
know.
My headline writer. I got mad at my headline writer at NFL one time. I'm like, guys, this does not represent what I wrote at all. And I said that about 7 years ago. And they were very responsive, and they understood where I was coming at. Like, this is a misrep. We've had it at EA. We still have it on SportsMap. The guys who do SportsMap videos still. This hiring could shake up the foundation of everything we know about Houston sports. Like, that's not what they'll pull a clip from us. I'm like, what did we say that could possibly be that?
All right. When we come back, Adam Silver wants to change the game. See what you think. On the other side, right here on ESPN.
Adam Silver hates basketball. There's thing about the NBA that he likes.
Well, but, you know, used to play, and look how athletic he is.
That's true. He is a player's commissioner.
Time for you to talk about tacos.
I'll talk about, there's so much more to talk about than tacos. I mean, you got all your authentic Mexican food favorites available at Taquerias Arandas. And I can't wait to get back and enjoy the, actually, tomorrow we're going to go have lunch at the Arandas Sports Bar, one of the Taquerias Arandas locations that has their largest sports bar. And it's really cool because what they do is they take their bar area in some of the Taquerias Arandas locations, and they turn it into a sports bar. So it's really cool because they have a bar menu available for you. They have drink specials, margarita specials, whatever the case may be. But they have a separate bar menu that they've created to make it very easy for you to order your bar favorites. And, of course, they have a full open menu available to you as well. You go watch your games. Tell them the games that you want to watch. Hey, I want to watch this game. They'll put it on the television. You'll watch your favorite soccer matches, Premier League on Saturday morning, Sunday morning when you're having breakfast, or, you know, your favorite baseball game coming up, your basketball game, your football's just about to end. But that's what they're there for. They want to make you happy so that you have your food, your friends, your fun, all there, your drinks, all in one location. And they want that to be your new sports bar location where you can come in, take over the area, and then start enjoying. You know, before you know it, we're going to March Madness, man. Go post up over there and watch multiple games, have your drinks, have your food, carry over from one game to the next, keep the tab open. Man, that's the way we do it March Madness time. So, Taquerias Arandas, that's the location for you for all the great food, all the great memories that you're going to share with your buddies, and go check out the Arandas Sports Bar as well.
It's the jam of the day.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Adam Silver was on with Dan Patrick yesterday, I believe this happened. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Well, let's see if you agree or disagree with him. Here's him talking about how long NBA. Oh, it wasn't in the article? Oh, can you find it? Can I? That's why I had to restart, because I can't play. Now I can play audio again because I had to restart. So I didn't see that. All right, so Dell will find the audio. What Adam Silver says that in today's modern age, we apparently don't have the ability to watch for 48 minutes. We need to cut the games to 10-minute quarters. And it's more attractive to today's viewers. Agree or disagree?
So here's the thing. I've got modern day viewers. My kids have no issues with it. They're fine with everything about it. They consume it differently than I did. They watch on streams. They watch on phone. They watch highlights, headlines. But everything you're going to see is about short attention span, shorter games, shorter seasons, less engagement. And the thought is the 162-game baseball. I'll admit, I mean, that's a long baseball season. That's when your team's not good, that is forever. And I think Adam Silver, if the NBA had fewer games, I don't know that it would be a bad thing. Shorter games, though, like fewer minutes, 10-minute quarters – that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, let's see. Here's Adam Silver.
And I'm probably in a minority. As we get more involved in global basketball, the NBA is the only league that plays 48 minutes. And I am a fan of four 10-minute quarters. I'm not sure that many others are. I mean, putting aside what it means for records and things like that, you know, I think that a two-hour format for a game is more consistent with sort of modern television habits. I don't think people in arenas aren't asking us to shorten the game, but I think as a television program, being 2 hours, that's Olympic basketball is being two hours, you know, college basketball, of course, is.
Yeah, but if you like it, I'd say it has kind of a little bit of a push there.
Yeah, it's such a dramatic change to the game. I mean, I think something like that would have to be talked.
I mean, there is some value. I mean, as a television product, is it too long? I don't know. 2.5 hours?
No.
At least it's not an NFL.
But it's typically 2 hours, though.
Yeah, right.
It's typically 2 hours. The NFL's 3 hours. Like, it's, we're acting like this.
No, it's typically 2.5 hours.
No.
It's typically 2.5 hours in NBA.
What? It depends on how the game flow's going at the end.
Right. Well, if it's a tight game, it's certainly
too. A lot of times it's 2:15. Soccer, you know what he wants is he wants everything to be like soccer. Soccer is the tightest schedule, like it's incredible. If they tell you a match starts at 9 a.m., it does not start at 9:01 ever. At 9, that ball is kicked off and it's on, and then you have 45 minutes. Then you have 15 minutes at half, I guess. Then you have your 45 minutes. Whatever the extra time is, and then that's a wrap. And it is a 2 hour at most affair. International, you have transfer windows, but you also have these FA Cups and all this stuff. Adam Silver wants it to be international soccer. He's trying to make the whole game an international sport. You can see him. He's telling you right there. He just told you, well, all these other leagues have. I don't care, Adam. I don't care what. Stop, Adam. 48 minutes gives you a chance. Do you realize how mad Cam Whitmore is going to be if it's a 40-minute game and he doesn't play? If it's 40 minutes and just play, I'm in place all 40 minutes. Cam Whitmore is going to be so mad. We don't need that. Reed Shepard will never play basketball ever again.
Well, no, he will.
Make it a 60-minute game so Reed can get in.
He will play. I promise.
Reed's
someday.
Never playing again.
When he grows
Reed
up,
is done with basketball. He's done.
When he
Reed's
grows
done.
Up, he's gonna be. He's gonna play. Okay. And just now, he's too little. He's too wee. Ime can't. So he can't have little wee people on the floor right now. He needs grows up. He needs.
I know. Does he strike you as one of the physical Rockets?
No. Reed, but Reed's got, I mean, Reed's a good defensive player, man. He's got quick hands.
He's quick.
Got great instincts.
He's quick. He's not physical, but he's quick.
He's quick. He's quick. Let's get Elliot in here. He wants to talk on the radio. Hey, Elliot.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you're having a good week. I'm in Philadelphia right now for work. I arrived on Wednesday, and when I got here, I hated the Chiefs significantly like the rest of America and wanted to see the Eagles in their run, and after being here for 48 hours, that has significantly changed. The Eagles fans are very unbearable and annoying. I went to a 76ers game last night, and even though it wasn't the Eagles, meeting a bunch of Sixers fans and them heckling all the Kings fans was pretty wild to see. Hanging at all the local bars and meeting all the Eagles fans, it's they meet the stereotype, and I'd never encountered Eagles fans other than a couple in Houston. So this is my first experience. The Chiefs have the annoying team. The Eagles have the annoying fans, which we already knew that, but I didn't know it was to this level. So just calling to kind of say that I've been in the waters this week and seeing it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't think there'd be a time that I'm like, well, I'd rather see the Chiefs win than the Eagles right now because their fans have been unbearable. And yeah. I guess my question is, have y'all ever had an encounter with Eagles fans like this?
Yeah. I was on the sidelines for the Texans for the first 5 years of the organization, and the only two places where I was like, this is awful, was in Oakland and in Philadelphia. It was awful. The fans are awful people. Do you see all the videos of Washington fans walking out of the building and they're taking their hats off and they're saying all this ugly this stuff to them? The Eagle fan who, when the Green Bay Packer woman was right in front, he's calling her all kinds of ugly. I'm with you. I think I'm with you. I can't stand the Chiefs, but the Eagles fans are the worst people. They're like Ohio State, only on steroids. They're awful, awful people. And I don't know that I can root for them. I honestly, I'm watching these videos of these people. You're like, why are you? They're the biggest a-holes in all of sports. And I didn't think that was possible, but they are. It's awful.
They did that last night at the 76ers game, took the guy's King's beanie off and threw it into this Coors Light, which, shout out to them, but to this Coors Light chill zone area where they hang out. They took his King's hat and flung it into the, like, the chill area, and the guy was just standing there waiting in line to get a beer on the side, and it was, I'm just walking by like, oh my gosh, this is, it's a 76ers game on a Wednesday, and they're throwing stuff. There's Eagles fans doing the Fly Eagles Fly in front of Kings fans, and it was an experience to say the least.
Yeah, that's, I mean, but that's, you know what, they're trying to, they've got
it's
a
their
reputation.
Identity. Yeah, yeah, it's their identity now. They play into it.
Yep. And
I like that dirty ass trash ass city.
It is a dirty ass trash ass city, and I don't know that I can root for them. If you want to know the truth, and I hate the Chiefs.
I think there's some really good Philadelphia fans, and I know some, and I've been friends with some. But they will tell you stories about Philly fans. Like they will tell you, you can never, if you're a Giants fan, you can never come to the Link, like ever, ever, ever. He said, my buddy Matt Kissinger years ago, he told me, man, I watched guys try to get up the concourse and just get pummeled. You know, people will try to start a fight with you, and when you respond, that's their free pass to start beating the crap out of you. I just have such low respect for that kind of stuff. And it's not a whole fan base, but I got news for you. Since y'all don't put your own fans in check, that's what we all think about you. That's what nationally everyone thinks. That's why when Philadelphia fans said, this guy does not represent all Philadelphia fans, when he was dropping a DUC on that, that Packer fan. But we think it does. Because you guys do all the you revel in your reputation, so now you've got it. Now you've got it. This is who you are. Congratulations, you've earned it. So all these Philly fans who are good fans, y'all get drowned out, and they know they don't have a reputation for being terrible fans, you know. But like Colleen Wolf, I've talked to Colleen Wolf about it, and she's a terrible fan. No, not at all. She's a big Philly fan. She's from Philly. But she knows, like, there's nothing, you know, it's brutal at Philadelphia sporting events because it's very, very blue-collar in the most drunk blue-collar way. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a blue-collar fan base. It's when you think that you need to be likes to fight blue-collar fan base. You think that's who you are. And it sucks that road – I mean, it's one thing to give road fans crap, but it's another when you just start to take stuff off of them, throw things at them.
Just,
you know,
a-holes. Just a-holes. Yeah. And over a game, I mean, honestly, I mean, people want to go and they want to just go to see their team play, and you got to be – you're doing stuff. I mean, you're just a-holes. Just a-holes. That's I'm not rooting for the Eagles. Screw them. You know what? Taking Chiefs.
Well, you're rooting for the Chiefs?
I'm rooting for the Chiefs now. I'm with Elliot about this. It's awful. If you're going to be an awful fan base, how can you root for those people? I don't want them to win. They're a bunch of a-holes. I don't want a bunch of a-holes to win. I'd rather Taylor Swift. She's a nice young lady. She's such a wholesome. She shakes her booty a lot on the stage and stuff. And
there's a lot of people who hate the Chiefs because of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Which,
well,
Taylor Swift couldn't be more benign.
They're bad people too.
Me.
If you don't like Taylor Swift, you're a bad person. Okay, that's all. That's how I look at things. 713-780-3776. Right now, I'm talking about HRP. I was just in their portal. As a matter of fact, it's so easy. I have to get some information, some pay stubs and stuff, and it's so easy. And as opposed to your business, okay. Your employees want to get pay stubs from this. They want to get their W-2s from how long ago. I mean, it's simple. It's all right there. All of the information is stored. HRP thinks of everything, okay? And I need that stuff for financial information for what we're doing here. And it can't be easier, okay? I don't need anybody else. I've got HRP. And if I had any questions, I could call HRP. And so, I mean, it's so easy for... You can call up and ask Laura Beavers, hey, Laura, can you tell us about your experience with HRP? And she will. She'll break it down, everything that they do for us. It's like they're in your business. They're helping you make your business as good as it can possibly be, as easy for your employees, as easy for you as it can possibly be. So let them come and give you a consultation on what they can do for your business, how they can change. If you're with an admin company and it ain't that easy and it's getting really, really expensive, call HRP and let them come and figure it out for you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.